Illinois' leaders are stuck in a budgetary quagmire weeks after they heard from President Barack Obama when he came to Springfield to call for less polarization in politics. I'm Amanda Vinicky with The Players, your look into who's who in Illinois politics and what they're up to. Or more precisely, this time around, your look into who's who in national politics and what they were up to when they visited Illinois. Obama's the only former member of the Illinois General Assembly to have come back as president to address his former colleagues, which also means he's the only sitting president to have reminisced about the good old days of playing poker with other Illinois lawmakers and to have noshed on barley soup from the feed store sandwich shop downtown while he was at it. But he's the fourth sitting president to have formally addressed state lawmakers. Before him, Presidents William Howard Taft in 1911, Herbert Hoover in 1931, and Jimmy Carter in 1978 did the same.
This is why I've always believed so deeply in a better kind of politics, in part because of what I learned here in this legislature.
Barack Obama used the opportunity to call on politicians now and in the future to treat each other and government with more respect.
And it convinced me that if we just approached our national politics the same way the American people approach their daily lives, at the workplace, at the Little League game, at church or the synagogue, with common sense and a commitment to fair play and basic courtesy, that there is no problem that we couldn't solve together.
But what about the other presidents? Why did they come to Illinois, and what did they say when they gave speeches to a joint session of the General Assembly? I talked to the man whose job it is to know this sort of stuff, or to dig it up.
My name is David Jones, and my title is Director of the Illinois State Archives.
Let's go in chronological order. Jones says for Taft and Hoover, addressing the General Assembly was a sort of side note. They were both in Springfield for events in honor of another president with Illinois roots, Abraham Lincoln.
In Taft's case, he accepted an invitation to attend the Abraham Lincoln Association's annual dinner, Lincoln Dinner, for Lincoln's birthday. And in Hoover's case, it was to rededicate Lincoln's tomb.
Jones says for Taft, it was a political opportunity.
So this gave him an excuse to go to the Midwest. He visited Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois, three pretty key states, even though it's 1911, a year before the election campaign really heats up.
When he spoke to Illinois senators and representatives, Taft got wonky.
He talked policy, and in fact, he only talked one policy issue, which was basically a free trade agreement with Canada. And we do have a transcript of the speech, and quite honestly, it's about as exciting as it sounds.
President Herbert Hoover's remarks 20 years later, ahead of his campaign for re-election, well, they sound even less so. Remember, he was there to rededicate Lincoln's tomb. That was his big appearance. Jones says Hoover's speech to the General Assembly was brief.
And actually what was interesting about that, to my mind, was that was a joint session of the General Assembly, but they didn't hold it in the House chambers. They actually went across the street to the old arsenal and had kind of more of a public thing. And he gave very short remarks, basically acknowledging the General Assembly, you know, thanking Springfield for the visit.
It's an honor for me to be here with you in this historic place from whence has come so many profound statements and deliberations in the history of our country, and from which came perhaps the greatest leader who's ever lived in the President's house. I'm very grateful, too, for the political wisdom concentrated here as well as the governmental wisdom. When I began to plan my own campaign, I talked to President Speaker Redmond. He told me how to win an election easily and quickly.
President Jimmy Carter, 1978. A transcript is one thing, but thanks to my friends Tony Euskis and James Carter of Blue Room Stream, we can actually hear what Carter said to Illinois lawmakers.
And I know that appearances here have proven to be very good in future presidential elections. I think the last president who spoke here, according to the news media, was Herbert Hoover, who
his opening joke turned out to be ill-omened. I found the rest of the speech, or lack thereof, fascinating. You see, the speech itself was really short. It touched on the same thing as President Obama's Illinois address. Like Obama, Carter began with reflections on his own time as a state senator from Georgia.
I came to realize then the extreme importance of state government, the difficulties of public service, the courage required to make decisions on controversial issues, because almost every issue that comes here is difficult to resolve. If a matter is easy, it's solved in a family's home, or perhaps in a neighborhood, or a city hall, or a county courthouse. If it's much more difficult, it comes to your desk, and eventually come to the attention of the Congress of the United States and the President. I know the pressures that come on members of government to try to deal fairly with their own constituents and still look at a statewide problems and needs, and even those at the national and international scene.
That was apparently an off-the-cuff comment. Carter had done something I can't fathom many politicians doing today. Just listen.
This morning I have prepared a speech text which has been distributed, or will be, to you. I prepared it myself, and I think perhaps you might want to read it over. But I thought, in order to have a more constructive session for me, that I would make a very few impromptu remarks and then spend what time we have together answering your questions.
Carter touched on tax reform, the unemployment rate, and the SALT arms treaty with Russia. Then, true to his word, he did an open public Q&A with state legislators.
Representative McPike.
Some questions sound like they could have been asked today.
Illinois is a northern industrial state. In the past 10 years, has lost many manufacturing jobs to the South. To a large degree, we feel that this is due to non-union wages that are prevalent in the Sun Belt. We therefore feel that passage of the labor law reform bill now in Congress is very important. Could you comment on its importance and on its chance of passage?
Other Illinois lawmakers asked questions about the Equal Rights Amendment, the Social Security tax's effect on inflation, concerns of the Jewish community about Israel, and the plights of minority unemployment and housing in urban areas. Carter wrapped it up by circling back to his original theme.
There's been a building up of distrust against government, and a chasm has opened between government and people. And that can be resolved only by you and me.
See what I mean? Decades later, Carter's remarks bear a striking resemblance to Obama's. If you want to hear for yourself, audio and a transcript of President Obama's address is on our website. This has been The Players, your guide to who's who in Illinois politics and what they're up to. I'm Amanda Vinicky.